But right now, as part of our checking in Jewish communities around the world, I've got somebody particularly interesting for you this afternoon on the line. He's Rabbi Hanan Chernitsky, and boy, does he have a story. He was born in Argentina, he was raised in Canada, and now leads a Jewish community in Newfoundland. And the place is called St. John's. Who even knew there was a place called St. John's? Rabbi Hanan Chernitsky, thank you for being with us on Chai FM this afternoon.
Lovely to be here. Thank you for the opportunity.
It's actually kind of interesting because the person we spoke to last week was in Argentina. So fresh off the press, we're pretty up to date with the Jewish community in Argentina, from which you apparently originate. What got you to Canada?
Well, my parents wanted to leave Argentina. We moved to Winnipeg, Canada in 2003 in August. If you know Argentinian history, at the end of 2001, there was a big economic downturn.
Yeah.
My parents wanted to leave the country. They didn't want to be in the U.S. under the Bush administration. We ended up moving to Canada, and that's what happened.
So Buenos Aires to Winnipeg, that must be an adjustment and a half.
Yes, well, the weather is quite different, of course. the worst winter day in Winnipeg in Buenos Aires is maybe 0 or -1 Celsius.
Uh-huh.
In Winnipeg, it could get to -50.
Oh my goodness!
Celsius.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
unimaginable. I don't know how one even survives in temperatures like that, but yeah. Anyway, how many Jews in Winnipeg, and what was the community like?
I think they say there's about 10,000 Jews in Winnipeg, and living there, everybody speaks about Winnipeg being a small community, which is in comparison to Montreal or Toronto, which are the bigger communities in Canada. You know, Winnipeg has one, like, Reform Zionist Jewish day school, this number of shuls. I know South Africa is pretty traditional, but, you know, there's Reformed, Conservative, Modern Orthodox Chabad in Winnipeg. And, yeah, there's no kosher restaurants.
Interesting.
Worth pointing out.
Interesting.
But
okay.
It's a well-established community. Otherwise, it's quite an old community, a couple hundred years old.
Okay, so then you pursue a career in the rabbinate, which in itself is interesting. Just talk to me briefly what explains that?
Well, first of all, I don't come from a religious family. I was born to loving, secular Jewish parents. I started getting closer to Judaism when I was in high school in Winnipeg, after we moved. And by the time I was in grade 12, I was, quote-unquote, fully religious, keeping Shabbos, keeping kosher. And I went off to yeshiva after high school instead of going to university, as my friends did. I went off to yeshiva. I was in Morristown, New Jersey, there in the Chabad yeshiva for 3 years. I spent a year studying in the mainstream Chabad yeshiva in Montreal afterwards. And then I went off to Venice, Italy,
where
I became a rabbi, Baruch Hashem.
And then how did St. John's in Newfoundland happen?
Okay, so there's St. John, New Brunswick, also part of Canada, the Atlantic, and there's also St. John's, Newfoundland, where we live. So I tell people that we wanted to move to St. John, New Brunswick, because we got on the wrong flight. And, as funny as it is, it happens all the time. If you Google it, you know, it comes up in the news all the time that people go to one but hoping to go to the other. And, you know, that's why airports have codes. But anyway, be that as it may, as Chabad, part of our mandate is to go to Jewish communities that don't have a Jewish infrastructure or could use a boost in their existing infrastructure. And so me and my wife, we were living in Montreal. We had 2 children at the time. And we were looking for a place to move to that could use our services. And, you know, different places came up, but it wasn't for us. They were looking for somebody to go to Hong Kong. They were looking for somebody to go to Thailand. There's a few places in the States that came up. And nothing worked out. And I was speaking to a friend of mine from Toronto, Toronto, Canada. And he knew of a businessman that had business here in Newfoundland, in St. John's, to be precise. And this fellow had been paying for young Chabad Yeshiva Bochrim, you know, young yeshiva boys to come and do short stints. Like, they would come for Purim and then leave, right? They would stay for a week and, you know, and go out. They would come for Pesach, distribute matzah, do a seder, and then go back to wherever they had come from. And so this businessman that was paying for all of this felt that Newfoundland was ready for a permanent Chabad presence. And my friend put us in touch, and we came in 2016. At the end of January, we did a 2 Tu Bishvat events in town. We're here for a week, me, my wife, and our two children. We realized it wasn't long enough to make a decision, so we came back that very year, 2016. We came back for March, April, so for Purim and Pesach. And then we realized that there were more Jews here than accounted for, and we spent the rest of 2016 raising the seed money necessary to move, and we moved here February 2017 and never looked back.
So this is fascinating to me, and I think it's probably fair to say, as most of South African Jews have no idea where St. John's is. Is it on the coast? Is it very far north, Newfoundland? Do you also freeze to death there? Just give us a sense of St. John's. How big is it? Just give us a sense of the city and what its needs and challenges are.
Yeah, sure. So we are northeast in Canada. Newfoundland's an island, so we're not connected to mainland Canada. The closest part of Canada to Europe. Oftentimes there are emergency landings here, being the first stop after Europe.
They made a musical about that.
Today's 9/11. Today's September 11th. So during 9/11, 2001, so there were a lot of planes that were diverted here when they closed the North American airspace. So a lot of history there, you know, both St. John's and Gander, which is 3 hours north from here in Newfoundland, got a lot of planes stranded. Very small Jewish community. We estimate there's 500 Jews, mostly in St. John's. We know of some families spread out. To give an idea of Newfoundland, the province, how big it is, it takes roughly 11 hours to drive from one end to the other. It's a very, very big area, not dense at all. There's only 500,000 people in the whole province.
Boy.
A lot of the province is not developed. There's some mountains, a lot of forests, very, very undeveloped. They're slowly developing it more. A lot of houses, not too many big buildings, not too many apartment buildings. And the challenge is that we are very remote. If somebody moves here, then it is expensive to go visit family abroad, whether it's even within Canada, or for sure if it's in the States or Israel or Europe. You have to fly, and to go to Canada, let's say you want to go to Nova Scotia, which is the closest province, you need to get on a ferry. If you want to go by car, you need to get on a ferry, right? This big boat, and the ferry takes your car, takes many hours. So I think that's one of the biggest challenges, being very remote. Other than that, thank God, it's a beautiful place to live. People are very friendly. It's relatively safe. And everywhere from South Africa is more than welcome to come and visit.
I'm just listening to you, and you said less than 500 or about 500. And I'm thinking that surely cannot be enough for a sustainable community. What do you do about kosher food? How do you just keep Judaism happening in such a tiny community?
Well, Judaism has to work even for one Jew. It's, of course, not about the numbers. It's a challenge maybe for us to raise the funds that we need to keep going. But kosher meat, kosher chicken has to be shipped in. We bring it in from Montreal. It comes in a frozen truck. The truck takes the ferry from North Sydney, Nova Scotia. That's the closest part of mainland Canada. And comes here. Usually takes roughly a week and a half after we put in the order. Our kosher meat order actually just came in last Friday. But it's doable. As they say, if there's a will, there's a way. It costs a few dollars more maybe, but it's all doable.
What's your vision for the Jewish community in St. John's?
Our vision is for every Jew to be engaged in Jewish life, to experience their heritage, to celebrate their heritage in a happy way, in a non-judgmental way, and that they should find their place, should be comfortable, and they will want to keep coming back to more events, I've become more involved in Chabad. We cherish the value of every single mitzvah. So every extra mitzvah a person does is invaluable, is of infinite value, and we want to get in as more of those as possible, as many of those as possible.
Talk to me about your Moment of Silence initiative. Apparently, that's something you have started in Newfoundland schools. What is it?
Sure. So the Moment of Silence is not my idea. The Moment of Silence is something that Lubavitcher Rebbe encouraged. It was first developed, it was first invented by a school board in New Jersey after they banned school prayer, after they banned prayer in schools in the United States because it's a separation of church and state.
Sure.
And what it is, very simply, is 1 minute of silent reflection at the beginning of the school day. It's not a prayer. I'm not connected to any particular religion, not connected to any political group. It is for the parents to share with the children a positive value to think about during that 1 minute. So instead of the teacher starting by teaching math, English, science, they start by saying, okay, let's focus on what your parents told you or a guardian told you to think about. 1 minute, and then they move on, and that sets the tone for the day. What's special about it is that there's strong anecdotal evidence that from just 1 minute, there's a huge increase in the mental health of the students, reduction in youth crime and substance abuse, and you didn't introduce religion into schools. It's intrinsically secular. So it's very powerful, and it can make a difference in the child of his children.
Final question for you. I think the entire Jewish world clearly was incredibly shaken by October the 7th, certainly in South Africa, as well as Jewish communities in Europe and the United States. Massive changes for us from an identity perspective, what we can and can't do publicly, and the way the public relates to us. What has been your experience in Canada in a post-October the 7th world?
It's not simple. Canada is becoming less pleasant for Jews to live in. The rhetoric is quite poisonous, even in their friendly Canada. The government just said yesterday that they're reevaluating the Canada's relationship with Israel because Israel's attack on the Hamas leaders in Qatar. You know, we never run away or cowered because of fear, because we're uncomfortable. And as hard as it is, here in Newfoundland, we had it less than in other bigger cities in Canada. We need to be out in public. We need to be strong. We need to use our brains and not, you know, we have a heightened sense of security. Now we hire security, private security when we have public events, which we didn't used to. But we're not cowering in fear. We're not hiding. We're not becoming inconspicuous. We're out in the open. We're here to stay. And we need to be proud Jews, not to, God forbid, take down mezuzahs. We need to put up more mezuzahs and stand strong in the face of fear.
Interesting. Just a final comment from me that maybe you want to comment on or not. You'll let me know. We interviewed our travel correspondent on Monday who was reporting to us from Argentina. And he was saying in his opinion in the year 2025, he thinks that Argentina, ironically, is one of the best places in the world to be a Jew right now. I'm just interested in your take on that.
I can't give a proper answer because I have not lived in Argentina for over 20 years. And it's very different Argentina from the outside and from the inside. The people that are living there, you know, on the outside looks very good. The president's very friendly with the Jews and loves Israel. But people living in Argentina are having a very hard time economically. They're not very thrilled with the precedent necessarily. And people tend to go visit Argentina and say how much, you know, it's a beautiful country. And it is a beautiful country, but living in Argentina is very difficult, not necessarily as a Jew. In other words, economically, it's a challenge. It's not very safe. The politicians are terribly corrupt. But living there as a Jew, I can't comment on.
Rabbi, thank you for talking to us this afternoon. I really appreciate your time, and thank you for enlightening us on about a community I'm sure we knew absolutely nothing about.
With pleasure, Shabbat Shanatava, only blessings and sweetness, only goodness.
Amen, amen, amen to that.